Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
God has been unveiling it. Praise God. But there is one that we all agree ought to become a reality. And yet, like I said, I'm yet to see an army of God. I see individual soldiers, skilled soldiers, but I've not seen an army. If you understand what I mean. An army is a group of soldiers, Abi. But it's not just a group of soldiers. They have to be organized in such a way that you can say, this is an army. Pastor, you're welcome. Bless you. It has to be organized. And you do not have an army, like I said, for parades. We have armies that have specific instructions. It says that the army is basically there to maintain the territorial integrity of a nation, or the army is useful for an expansionist program. Do you follow me? That's what you use armies for. We have a Nigerian army that is basically supposed to protect the sovereignty of Nigeria from external attacks. Now, that philosophy in the realm of the spirit is similar to our mental position when the word of God says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, if you read that place on the surface, it's as if the church is standing and the gates of hell is moving against her. Praise God. Trying to prevail against her. So the impression you get from that scripture, if you look at it on the surface, is as if it is the gates of hell that is moving against us. Praise God. Pastor, you're welcome. But technically, gates don't move. Do you understand me? Gates don't move. So the real thing that Jesus was saying, that when the church begins to advance against the gates of hell will not be able to stand her from going through. So it's as if you have a city like this and hell has built fortifications around those cities. The people advancing, technically, is the church and not hell. Because immediately Jesus rose from the dead, hell went on the defensive. Because if it were not so, it would not have said, go into the whole world and go attack fortifications. So our problem, therefore, is not the command, but how do we interpret those things? Do we have an advancing or, an army that is on the offensive? Do we have an offensive mentality or we have a defensive mentality? Now, over time, I have seen that we have developed a defensive mentality. No thanks to the fact that our eschatology was faulty. You know the eschatology, Jesus is coming back anytime. So you guys have to maintain. I like that song. Shaye, you should help me. This song, I'm trying to get the lyrics. It's slipping through my mind. Something in front, I will hold the front. Something about soldiers, we hold the front. Dun, 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 dun. No, I didn't say come and sing it. Dun, you know the song. Da, 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 da. You like it, Abby? I can see you like the song. But technically, that's some of the songs that has put us where we are today. It has created a mentality that is wrong. It's a defensive mentality. Say, hold the front. You are not holding the front. You are supposed to be advancing. Praise God. So you give the impression that, it was just there like this. I just enter heaven. Ah, Lord, I thank you. For some, yes, that's okay. But the real situation is that we should not be the ones holding the front. It should be Satan begging God, come and take these your boys away. They are causing too much problem. So I guess one of the major things we must understand about an army is their mentality. What is the philosophy that drives them? And I did not understand this until the American army came to Nigeria to come and help us during the time of Obasanjo. And they were asking for Malu, the chief of staff, that they wanted to him to hand over the doctrine of the Nigerian army to them. And I said, why would they be asking for the doctrine of the Nigerian army? Because it is the doctrine that determines how they will fight us. That doctrine determines the training. It determines the equipment. It determines everything. It determines your position. It determines everything. If they don't understand that, they can't fight you. Praise God. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? And so, what is our doctrine? What's our philosophy? What is driving us? If we come from a defeatist mentality, or that we want to, this our church, we'll be defending until we die. Have you heard about siege? When they lay siege, go and read Jeremiah. How Nebuchadnezzar laid siege on Jerusalem. It was not one day. He just surrounded Jerusalem with his army and was eating jollof rice and was watching them until their supplies ran out. Then he invaded them. We cannot have that mentality of being under siege. And that's why I said before that we must understand the philosophy that drives this army. Praise God. We have, again, for where we're coming from, the Catholic Church created another wrong mentality that we must deal with. And that's the mentality of clergy and laity, which came to America and became performer and spectator. Yeah, I get going, myself. So you need, you would love to see a pastor that is vibrating and is performing and without theatrics. Praise God. I heard that there's a particular school you have, I don't know whether it's school or seminar. Finish school, where they go and finish you, polish you. There's a way you talk. There's a way you handle microphone. There's a way you throw your leg. And when you have to throw your leg, no, you have to... Praise God. Those demons in hell don't respect those operations. They don't move it. Because they were the ones who designed that curriculum. Amen. So we got to change that. And again, I realize that if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Are you there, Brother Mike? Ephesians 4. It said God gave the church gifts, Abby. What did they ask them to do? The Bible says he gave them, look at verse 12. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of what? So I asked the question, who is supposed to be doing ministry? The believers. It's not me telling you I'm in ministry. I'm not in ministry. Praise God. It is you that is in ministry. My own job is to equip you for your ministry. So it is wrong. So these are mindsets that has been holding us down and not allowed us to begin to operate in the potentials that God has invested in us with. You understand that English? I know it didn't sound well. It didn't sit well. Praise God. But just follow me. Is that okay? Amen. So that is a wrong approach that we need to shut down. We will not be an army. And of course, if we are going to talk, and of course, the other thought I think I need to quickly drop is that thought of what is our main objective. The truth be said, if we gather all the senior pastors in Nigeria together, we will not agree on one single objective. It's like gathering all the generals in Nigeria and say, okay, what is the purpose of the Nigerian army? What was it? We are supposed to attack Kutonu. What was it? We are supposed to defend the oil installation. And everybody will, of course, at the end of the day, you will not have an army. Because there is no defined purpose. And if we are therefore going to finish this work, all of us must come into the unity of what? The faith. It is not that all of us will be able to operate, uproot mountains. That's not what he's talking about. That means we must all agree on what is the faith and what the faith wants to accomplish. We must come to that agreement. Because if we don't agree, we will all be working as different. I will give you an example. In 1994, Nigeria World Cup, every player on that team had different agendas. Others wanted to raise Nigeria up. While some people wanted to sell themselves, people like Okocha was not interested in scoring goals. He was interested in mesmerizing everybody. So that the world, all the scouts will know that this is skill, 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 Odroy. Hallelujah. While some people were trying to say, your Ogo will kill it. Sure, you understand? They were all working at cross purposes. At the end, did we win? We came home. Weeping. And still weeping. Because we have not found a team like that 1994 set. They've not found a team like that. It comes once in a blue moon. Or once in a generation. They just come like that and they go. It must click. Amen. And so as believers and potential leaders, we must understand why we must come into agreement. Praise God. Now, it matters not what your skill sets are. It matters not what your calling is. See, and that's how we can judge calling. You can't come tomorrow and tell me God has sent me to go and raise people who be selling gas. You say God raised you to go and be selling those who be selling petrol. How does that fit into what he told us? I don't know whether you are with me. We must come to an agreement. What exactly is our purpose? They did not set up the church to have to just gather all of you and we are all clapping and we are counting every Sunday. We take count and know how much money we have gathered in. That's not the reason for the church. So until all the leaders agree why we are doing what we are supposed to be doing, we will not be making progress. Of course, once we come into agreement, our prayers will change. The prayers we are praying, we change. All the prayers we are praying will be... Do you remember that? Some ministries will just become obsolete immediately. Just cancel them. Amen. But is it possible that that will ever happen? Now, let's go to Judges chapter 7. Judges 7. The story, I want to look at the army that... I want to look at snapshots of the armies, specific, just two types of army. I want to look at the army of David and that of Gideon. And possibly, I'll check some other scriptures. There's still something that Paul asked me last week about 2 Timothy, which I'll get back to. Now, Jerubbaal. Who is Gideon? And all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Morah in the valley. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites unto their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand had saved me. Praise God. Everybody came when they heard that God has raised a champion amongst them. It's so interesting that all of us, we like to gather around one champion. Praise God. We are looking for one champion. And you know, I found that to be the reality, to be like, I watched Natural Geographic, that was one particular one. We have these buffaloes, big, massive animals. And you have three lions. Is it lion or lionesses? When we come out, you do. When the lion do like this, you run back. The other one will come forward. Nobody wants to sit down and face the lions. If it is strength to strength, they can kill the lions. But who exactly will go and put his neck out as they try me for lunch? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In other words, nobody is willing to take the step. But when you find one buffalo that has strong head, all has to gather behind him and say, yeah, face them, we are behind you. But once they pounce on him, everybody to your house. We can't have that kind of mentality. So when they found a man like Gideon, everybody came around, we want to fight. How many were they, by the way? 10,000? I think there were many. Right? Yeah, thank you, Pastor. There 30,000 of them came. And God said, no. He said, now therefore, go proclaim to in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, praise God. Now, you can make fun of them. I've done vigilante before. I know what it means to do vigilante at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Looking for arm robber. Arm robber, that if he comes with God, me, I have nothing. Than one cutlass. Praise God. Which I've never used before. Not even on a dog. Dog less on an arm robber. No, I was afraid. We had one gunshot one day. Bow. Everybody entered. We just entered everywhere. Praise God. So it's not easy to be a soldier. I mean, there I want. It's not easy. The people were afraid. But you see, Agudo Shokunrin, she understand. They must not let people know that Haiti will not come out. So, based on expectations, everybody came. But they said, if you are afraid, let him return. And depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000. Ah! 22,000! You can imagine the heart of Gideon. Wait, are you me? So, I want to work with the church member. Shall we? And there remained how many? 10,000. So technically they were what? They were 32,000. 22,000 left. Oku 10,000. And the Midianites was 135,000 that were pitched against them. So if it's okay, one man kill one man. His army is finished. He's decimated. And God compounded his problem more. Praise God. Look at the next verse, verse 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go with thee. Praise God. You know the test. Go drink water. Ordinary drink water. What is the difficulty in drinking water, Pastor? Sir? Amen. And the Bible recorded that only 300 of them scooped water and was drinking. The rest plunged inside and was drinking like animal. And God said, with the 300, I'm okay. That's a very, very bad scenario. We don't know why God chose the 300. We can only suspect, or we can only conjure reasons. People say that when they were fighting battles in those days, the other army can come upon you anytime. So you that your head is already inside the water, and your, of course, your shield, everything is on the ground. When do you have time to bring your head up and start running and looking for your shield? Do you understand? There was greed, there was lack of self-control. The others that were scooping water had their eyes up. What am I trying to say? People say God uses anybody, but that's not true. God does not use anybody. God has specifications. He doesn't just use anybody. He can use anybody, but he doesn't use anybody. There must be certain criteria that you have to. You think it was a mistake God picked 12 men? Those 12 men, when you look at them, were they learned? They didn't go to school. What was their strength? Can you mention any strength that they had? I can tell you about Peter though. Peter speaks before he thinks. Do you understand me? Peter was, they had groups, they had these segregated groups. Peter had his own team. I don't know, I think James must have had his own team. See, you understand? You remember when those brothers went to corner Jesus, right and left matter. The other team felt betrayed. Which will have connection with Jesus now. Even among thieves, there should be honor. Praise God. They broke the the code of thieves. And they were angry with them. So what am I trying to say? You may not say anything good to those 12 men. Of course, on a good day, none of us would have picked any of those men. They don't have leadership skills. They were always quarreling and fighting over very, very simple things. Praise God. Yeah, those were God's guys. Save for Judas. However, if you look at all the men that God used over the period of time, they had specific attributes that God liked. Amen. They may not be a perfect guy. They may not have all that you and I would assume to be leadership qualities. But there was something that those people possessed that God was interested in. These 300 men had things that God was interested in. And so I begin to ask myself, in closing this age, is it likely, because people are assuming that there's going to be a massive, what's it called? This revival. Hey, and everybody, you can't, but I don't know. It may not be like that. Because if he didn't use many people to prosecute the war with Gideon, it's not likely that he may use many people. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether I'm making sense. I don't know. I didn't say I had a prophecy. I'm only saying that basically the conditions will not be lowered. The requirements of those who will lead the next revival, because if you read the history of revivals, you will keep seeing weaknesses of men coming up. You keep seeing failures of men coming up. And all those moves were truncated because of those weaknesses. This last one, they're not likely they're going to have weaknesses. Praise God. And therefore, you want to ask, how many men will be qualified enough not to have those weaknesses? The revival that happened in America, the healing revival, what killed it? Immaturity. People were handling raw power. And they had no wisdom. One of the things they said was, many of them were running programs like no man's business. And they were not mindful of resting. So their bodies began to collapse. Say, you are following me. Some will do programs till late in the night. And they will not be able to eat good food. So they were always eating junks. Their bodies began to collapse. Some were canceled that because you were having this problem. They didn't even know that their solution to the whole problem was rest. They were saying, use a little wine from sipping. How many have drank whiskey before? Tell the truth. Whiskey. Tell the truth. Okay, I'm told you, okay, no problem. Amen. But me, I know that it starts with small. Can you do? For me, one cup. Me, the last one at my memory. Next one. Before you know it, you start singing songs of. And many of them became alcoholics, and their ministries were destroyed. All kinds of mistakes were rough, and nobody was there to correct them. And Egan said, he told them then, Egan was not into the healing ministry. Egan was not popular. He said, long after you guys have left the stage, I will still be standing. And they were looking at the great kilosha of the E. We are the men of the hour. May not be the men of the hour. In the name of Jesus. He outlived all his contemporaries. The healing and everything that they were doing in those days, Egan eventually entered it. But his impact was more useful than those other ones. So those moves were destroyed because those who handled it had a lot of issues. I don't think the people who will end this program will have those or something. So it is not no more. It's not 300. I'm not saying God is going to use 300. I'm only saying that God is going to carefully select his men and women. For those of you that think that God's only going to use men, please don't make that mistake. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. He will use women, no? The first apostles, was it not women? After they saw the resurrected Christ, they go and tell my brethren. that I've risen. I will meet them. It was women that carried the first good news. So what makes it think that women will not carry the last good news? That's not my, this is my own assumption. I didn't say, praise God. I'm only asking. Maybe. Who knows? But what I want to say this before I move on is this. Please, let me say this. For this end time move, I don't know how it's going to start. But I think one thing is that it cannot... See, many of us assume that what God will do, you will do. It's not true. It's not true. There's nothing God will do on earth that he will not need the cooperation of people to bath it. Go and read the story of every revival. Very few of the revivals that happened in the history of mankind came as a sovereign act. God just came to one body like he had prayed to Gideon and said, Gideon, oh mighty man of Elohim, yeah, go and deliver my people. Beyond that, others were bathed by prayers. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, there were people who prayed for revival. When revival came, they fought against it. Because they felt that revival would start in their midst. And God went somewhere else to go and start it. You see? It may not happen. Let me tell you a lie. Majority of us that are believing God for revival, we want to be like... Say more. Okay. Hey. That they can write Jugunu was here. Hallelujah. That it is your name they will see. What tells that the last revival will have no names? I was told of a revival that was taking place in China, India, that many people don't know. They didn't record it. 70-year-old people pastoring churches of thousands of people. God just broke out in their midst and people were getting born again. Young people pastoring big churches. And nobody's hearing it. How many people know about what's going on in India and in China? When people will, the Holy Ghost will just talk to them, can get there, and they will get, and the church will hold, and the Holy Ghost will tell all of them at the same time, leave, and service will stop, pam, and they will go. No time for goodness and mercy, because the time, leave, they move. And by the time they leave, the secret service will land, they won't find anybody. That's how they build holding churches. And you'll be surprised that in China has the largest Christian population in the world. It's not Nigeria, not America, but you don't know. So if you say, God is not moving yet, he is moving, no. Even if he closes the age, you'll be surprised that you say, I finished the work. But God, we didn't see you in Nigeria. You people rejected me when I came. How did we reject you? When I sent Kini to you, what's your daughter's name again? Princess to you. You rejected her. Prince, how can you say princess to us? You don't know that we're anointed. Do you follow me? So, in moving forward, we need to begin to ask ourselves very serious issues, questions. And be able to seek the face of God. Where are we going to plug in? How do you want us to plug in? What do you want us to do? Who are we linking up with? Praise God. Now, let me show us another example of another general. Hallelujah. I told him that I hate that title, God's generals. It has caused more havoc than good for us. Now, it is not the book, the contents of the book that is my problem. All the historical records of all those men, they are lessons we must all read. In fact, if I were to do a Bible school, there are certain books you must read before you can graduate. You will do oral presentation before you can let you go. Those are one of those books. My problem is the title. And like I was telling him, we have a way of putting things in compartments. That title is one compartment. It stands alone. Praise God. And everybody wants to be a general. Now, all those men were not generals. Like, see, for a general is somebody who pioneers, who sets certain things in place that helps the church to advance. Do you follow me? Many of the people we see are judges. Who comes, healing ministry, they do it, but they never pass that grace on to somebody else. Nobody takes the baton, nobody takes the fire. Nobody carries on after that. So, you don't have an army. You have not equipped anybody. You have not unleashed the grace of God upon your life. The thing came with you and died with you. So I can't call you a general. I call you a judge. Hallelujah. But a general is a person who has the anointing to heal the sick and is teaching others also how to heal the sick. So you go to India and you go heal the sick. She goes to America, she goes heals the sick. Brother G goes, where will you go? London. Because if I say you go to Kenya, you may be offended. Anywhere you all go, you are doing the same thing. She understands. But see, it is not about you being a general, it's about you being a servant. Because Jesus did not raise generals, he is raising servants. He that will be greatest among you must be what? Servant of all. So let us change the nomenclature. And let us call someone God's general. Let us call him by the name he really is. God's servant. I know you don't like it. We come to microphone. You want to praise me. I want to thank God for the life of our Father in the Lord. The God's general. You're only killing me where I'm seated. You're not helping me. And you're not helping yourself either. So let us follow the right nomenclature. We are God's servant. We serve. And when you call somebody a servant, it means that there are specific instructions of the master he carries out. When you start using a general as a terminology, really telling you the guy is the guy who runs his army the way he likes to run his army. Is an independent character. And that's not good for our mindset. Are you with me, church? So please, let us change this mindset. Let us change this, the way we use language. And stop conveying wrong things to ourselves and to people who listen to us. The Lord be with us in Jesus' name. So I was speaking about another character called David. You all know David. You know how God raised David, right? Now, you'll be surprised how God picked David. How I know he was picked. When his senior brother came, God said, I have rejected him. In other words, before that appearing that day, that guy had done his exam and he has failed. Then the question is, when did we, Jesus Christ, where did we see you and we took care of you? When did we see you and we did not honor you? So as long as you did it to the least of this, my brethren, you have done it to me, praise God. So when did the guy write his exam and failed? In the things he did on day-to-day basis. Am I making sense to us? All of them failed. Because I want to believe God was visiting every house in Judah. Every home in Judah, God was visiting there. He will come and sit down and will observe how everybody was behaving. And when he finished one house, he will move from that house to the next house. And he came to the house of Jesse. And he was there, he was looking at the firstborn. I said, this one, I'm very sure. His father could have called him one day. I don't know the name of the young man. They probably mentioned in the Bible. I can't remember. Do you know the name? Caleb. Eliab. Eliab. Yes, daddy. I need you to please go to where's that place in Israel? To the market. I'm going to buy us Gary. I can't go, Joe. I'm very, very busy. I'm on internet. Can't you send Kenny? I don't have that time. Please now, Daddy, please don't disturb me. Leave me alone, Joe. I'm very busy. Okay. Until the matter will come to David. Yeah, of course, if you guys have juniors. How many of you have juniors at home? If you're the last born, you're going to be the one last one they'll be calling. Because once they start from the top, the thing is landing on your head. Praise God. And he was watching how David was doing. And God became interested in this young guy. And I guess in the place of his obedience, they sent a lion. They saw, they were watching how he was going to react. Whether the guy will pick race or will stand. The guy stood, fought the lion. They said, this is a mistake, it's not possible. There's no man like that in Israel. They sent bear. The guy stood and killed bear. God said, I found myself my leader. So God picks people. That's why I said from the beginning, all of us technically should be in this army, but not all of us will enter this army. Because many are called, few will be chosen. Not necessarily for salvation alone, but also applicable for this army of God. So, look, was it Pastor that was talking about Bishop Oyedepo? There are some things about it that I may not, that does not sit right with me. But there is something you and I cannot, we cannot gainsay. That man has paid his dues. How can a man go for NYC? All his alawi, he was throwing it into missions. Used it to build a church for somebody, for those people that he stayed with. And he said when he was going, what they gave him was atukpa, this bush lamp. They said those guys were too poor to buy him anything worthwhile. But they were able to gather money to buy him bush lamp. And they said, this thing you have done, as this thing shines, your light will shine to the furthest part of the earth. He said he didn't take it as serious. Until one day, he was somewhere in UK, after I preached, and people were rushing his books. And he said that thing. He said, do you remember what those villagers said? Villagers, villagers. Who will remember villagers when there are ministries in the U.S.? Despise not the days of small beginnings. The days they will say, clean table. They say they will say, clear seat. They say they will say, yeah, go and buy bread for man of God. And you'll be looking at it. I have a master's for crying out aloud. And there is Brother Akini there that is still a school start holder. It is me they are sending. Have I been so relegated? They are watching. And they are taking note. If you will be but faithful to the end, one day you will just go somewhere and they'll say, sister, this person is about to die. He's gasping. And you say, is that all? In the name of Jesus, arise. The person will rise. Healing ministry, be ready. That's what happened to Egin. Egin said he was in his church when one visiting evangelist was passing through. And it was with somebody. Gave him platform. Yeah, we're having an evening program. Come and preach for us. See, as the Saturday and the man was preaching, God said, your December salary, everything, nothing remain. Give it to that young man. That is his honorarium. Not church honorarium. His own salary. Thy son. Thy only son, Isaac. He said he never heard any message that young man preached that night. He was fighting God. What will my family eat? Christmas. And he was fighting there. When the young man finished, God told him the man was going to get the job he was going for. Because in America, they go for interviews like you go for a job interview. So he was going to a church to go and interview himself for an evangelistic role. Say, you know, I said, so how was my message? He said, it was good. You preached very well. He said, he doesn't remember Jack. So he didn't tell his wife, don't try this at all, please, if you are not led by the Holy Ghost. Packed his whole Christmas salary and handed an envelope to the young man, and the young man left. Said, suffice to say, somehow, they ate that Christmas. Ashiribu, the wife did not know he had sold his Christmas salary. Then another man came a year or two after. He did the same thing. This time he didn't struggle because since God had met his needs and he was not embarrassed, he gave it. Then he said one day, after that, nothing happened. Heaven's new open. Heaven's new closed. Everything was just coming normally. And then suddenly they just called him one day. They said one, maybe it was a church member, said one of their mom was had cancer, terminal cancer, and they said she has only a few hours to live. Just in case, please let us come and help us minister to her so she doesn't go to hell. Since God has given her time so we can preach to her, give her life to Jesus. So Iggy went there, preached to her, and he was about to pray. As he closed, let us pray. He didn't even say in the name of Jesus, the power of God came down, hit the woman, healed her of terminal cancer, filled her with the Holy Ghost, made her jump up, and she began to prophesy and run around the whole hospital, causing commotion. Of course, that was the first time somebody was going to be healed of cancer in that kind of, you know. And there was commotion everywhere. Man of God, 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 man of God. You know, when they do man of God like that, they say, it's not a big deal. It's the Lord that is doing it. You know? He didn't say Jesus. He didn't mention the name of Jesus when the power of God came down. So he said, when he was now going home, he said, Lord, between two of us, you know I didn't pray. What happened there? Then the Lord now said, do you remember those two occasions I asked you to give your offering? Your salary is asking. He said, if you have disobeyed me, that miracle would not have been possible. Can you relate such simple instructions with a breakthrough into a calling? I can't tell you how. It doesn't make any sense to me. But that is how the Lord works. I don't know how it will come to you. It may not be your salary. It may not be your shoe. I don't know what he's going to ask of you. Praise the Lord. Do you understand me? But you can be sure of one thing. It will surely come. Hallelujah. So, that's the truth. For David, it was like that. They tested David and said, I found him. He looked for him and found the person he needed. Praise God. And you remember that when David, of course, you know the rest of the story, how David went to fight and all that. But interestingly, I want us to look at the men of David. What was their characteristics? Praise God. How much time do I have, bro? You're not even aware. You just allowed me to start and continue. It's okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Okay, let me read from verse 1. I don't know. I'll come back there. But now, these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Now, what I'm trying to say here is that this end time army must be men who are resolute and whose focus is finishing everything that God has for this church to finish. They are mighty. They are helpers of the war. Now, verse 2. Let us go. Go on. Verse 2. Now, this is the issue. I won't be talking about Amory and all that. Now, the Bible said they were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left hand in oiling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Now, if you read their story, one thing will come clear to you, apart from the fact that their hearts were resolute in persecution that war, they were skillful men. Hallelujah. What I said they were? They were skillful men. Now, you do not develop skill in battle. You develop skill in the time of peace. You develop strength. You develop capacity. Not in the day of war. Of course, we have seen situations that you ran into a war situation, a battle situation. You were unaware. They caught you unawares. And you called upon God. And God came and helped you. But that does not build skills. Amen. Do you remember that David, when he was going to battle with Goliath, he did not take shield and sword? Shall you remember? Years after, did you see him still using catapult? He wasn't using catapult. In fact, the sword, when you see that sword in battle, you know that David is in battle. It's called the sword of Goliath. That was what he was wielding. So over time, he had developed capacity and skillfulness in using the sword. Hallelujah. Are you with me, church? So this, there are things you must be skilled at. You must know how to use. Can you use the word to pray? Are you good in prayer? These are things you must develop capacity for. Praise God. Now, all of us may not be like a praying mountains. Do you know that some people that when they pray like this, they will just be going like this. They can go like this for the next 10 hours. Me, I can't pray that kind of prayer. Praise God. Maybe my own is just, Father, I just thank you. Lord, I just bless you. I just appreciate you. Me, you are skilled in here. She get me. But Muli Soro. There's nobody, but if you're a non-believer, if I talk to you, you're born again. There are some people that are that skilled. Now, that skill, I'm using the word skill for you to understand. you may call it anointing. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? You have to learn, because not all of us are gifted alike. But you must know how to do everything. Do you follow me? But over time, you begin to see where your capacity and your strength lies. Because every tribe is different. Every tribe is skilled in different things. Do you understand? Now, when you look at the analogy of the human body, of course, amen. Let us take what part of the body we're talking about. Let us talk about the heart. The heart is one organ of its own, right? But it has cells. Now, all of those cells are cells that make up the heart. Now, those cells of the heart is different from the cells of the muscle. Abisa. They all of them don't sleep, but somehow their work, the way they are designed, they are different. But they are all cells. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Sure, you understand. But all of them don't sleep. All of them are moving in blood, they are moving it out blood, but their functions are different. They have what I call differentiation and specialization. Do you follow me? The muscles of my hand does not work like the muscles of my eyelids. Those muscles do different work. If you take this muscle here and put it in my hand will move again. Because they are different. I don't know, but they are all muscles. So even within a calling, there are differentiations. Because we need to understand that analogy for us to be able to appreciate one another. Because we are all different, even though we are one. But we are all different. And so I must appreciate the grace upon his life. And when we need him, we let him operate. Praise God. And I like this Yoruba say, the husband saw the snake and the wife killed it. The issue is not who killed the snake. The issue is that is the snake dead? It's a teamwork. But when I said, she understand. The next time when the man sees the snake, he will attempt to kill the snake. Unfortunately, if he's not scared of killing snake, that may be his last snake. Do you follow what I'm saying? He may not know how to kill snakes, but he may know how to kill buffaloes. I don't know whether you understand me. So when they see a buffalo, the wife says, oh, there is a buffalo, go and kill the buffalo. But when they see snake, the husband said, there, it is a snake, go and take care of it. And everybody's cool. Praise God. I hope I'm making sense here. So, the chief was Ahiezer. Then Joash, the sons of Shema, the Gibbethites, and Jezel, and Pelet, and the sons of... let me just continue going. Just go. Just jump. All those names will cause problem for me eventually. Jump. Go to verse 33. Thank you, sir. Go to verse 33. I don't want to read all those things. Now, there's something... Okay. Stop here. Also. And of the Gidites, they are separated themselves unto David into the old, to the wilderness, men of might. Remember Paul said, be strong in what? In the grace. Is it the might and what? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Bible says these men were what? Were men of might. Please remember, these men were around when Brother Saul was on the throne. These men were there. But we didn't hear about them. There was no great exploits they did. But this was the testimony God had about them, that they were men of might. Maybe Saul could not steer them up and motivate them properly. I see Saul as a system, not as a person. Saul is a system. There's a system that's only interested in pursuing personal agendas. And there is another system that David represents that pursues the agenda of heaven. How do I know? The Bible says, I have found David, my servant. He will do all my will. So we are coming there where we will have to start discipling a church and a people so that they can do what? They can do all the will of God. Praise God. Time has sufficed us to be asking God, Is this brother my will? Is it the will of God? Or this is it the will of God? Thank God you have an experience. Amen. Can we take that experience and let us apply it to some other more important things? You get me? Now, these were men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were swift as the arrows upon the mountains. Amen. Now go to verse 33. This is 3 or 28. Now the Bible says something about this man. Now it says, of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000. Now this is where I want to go. Which could keep rank. They could keep rank. They could keep. The Bible says they were not of a double heart. Did James not speak about that? He says a double-minded man is not stable. God cannot commit anything into the hands of a double-minded man. Praise God. So if you have been double-minded, you have to go to God and ask for healing. Otherwise, that character will disqualify you. That flaw will disqualify you. The Bible says this man could keep rank. I don't know what it means to keep rank. I'll be pastor of this cooking up. That means they match. I was a particular. The Nigerian army went to an international program in UK. They brought different armies. And they were matching. When Nigerian army got there, oh my God, they stood and gave a vision. Sabide. They've never seen an army match like that. The way they match, it was as if computer was operating. They would go like this, enter like this, go like this. They were just in all kinds of everything. They just dazzled. They stood and gave them a clap ovation. I was proud at least once. Praise God. The other time I was proud was 1996 when we won the Olympic medal. After that, no more proud. Praise God. They could keep rank. What does it mean to keep rank? That means you don't break formation. What does it mean not to break formation? Pastor Bello will explain that later. Amen. But there's a way you match information. Remember in the story of Joel, the army that was given us in Joel, one of the things they said, they don't break ranks. They match every man on his own path. Now, you can look at that from a perspective of an athlete. I don't know if you've run any of the athletic something before. If you cross your lane to somebody's lane by mistake, you are disqualified. Even if you are the fastest, if you break the world record, it counts for nothing. You have broken rank. And I can look at it from this perspective. Now, you can look at it from a different perspective. I'm not saying what I'm sharing with you is the perspective. This is my perspective. Praise God. And I'll give you from an example. I will use Agin again. Agin said, one day he tripped and broke his arm. Normal walk. You know when you trip, and water. In the name of Jesus, I reject that in Jesus. No, not normal trips. But his own trip fell and he broke his hand. And so he was in hospital. So while they were putting a cast on him, and they put the cast on him, said Jesus walked in and sat beside his bed. I said, do you know why you broke your hand? He said, he does not know. He said, I allowed you to break your hand. What did he do? What did I do, sir? He said, you put your teaching ministry before your prophetic ministry. So little, yes, sir. Everybody's awful because I need to come in low. He said, I called you as a prophet, not a teacher. I don't know. I didn't study. I didn't go further in that discussion. Maybe I'll go back and study. But maybe somebody will do study and come back and tell me. Praise God. So maybe one thing about all of us is that there are some things we like doing. We are comfortable with. Amen. I'm comfortable with having a microphone and teaching. But who knows whether I'm an evangelist? Do you understand me? I might have an evangelist. Maybe once a while. Maybe if you have seen it show. Sometimes it can show. I can show. Praise God. Someone said that I have a prophet or something. I'm not comfortable with the prophets. You're comfortable by the way. So I don't invest time. I don't invest time in that. I don't know. I hope they won't beat me with too many cane when I get there. Praise God. But you can pray for me that God will have mercy. And if that is a very important one, that the God should just take my mind and begin to move in that. Well, this thing require your mindset. His mind. He that is carnally, but he that is spiritually, is your mind. What do you pay attention to? If you are given to the prophetic, you should not be reading the epistles. Hello. I said hello. Now, the only way you can read the epistles is to understand the program of God. But if you are really given to the prophetic, you should read the book of the prophets. Because those things carry spirit. That thing will infuse itself into you. Before you know, you just start saying, thus saith the Lord. Praise God. Am I communicating? Now, if you are more of a teacher, if you are an evangelist, you will likely gospels. If you're an evangelist and you're reading epistles, you will make a very, very bad teacher. You are not keeping rank. Because your ranking was a calling of an evangelist. When I say, I can see that this teaching ministry, look at the way they are calling Selma and all those boys. If not, I teach you. Have you seen Pastor Ogi teach before? If not, I teach you. Praise God. Because the way they carry his Bible. Pastor, remember the days we used to carry our Bible. Some people refuse to leave that system because nobody will carry their Bible again. So you cannot become, wow. Some of you want to become a pastor. Where is it the way they honor? They bring Coca-Cola, they bring everything. They, Oluwa, I will serve you. You have made Babala a big mistake. You are carnally minded. It has nothing to do with all those. Praise God. So, as a believer, please keep rank. Know where your ranking is. It is wrong for you as a sergeant to begin to operate like a captain. It's wrong. It's not faith. Keep rank. Stay within your calling. There were people who are captains of 1,000, there were people who are captains of 100. They maintained ranking. Maybe a message is to be preached about rank. I am Baba Adeboye. We are sons of God. He's not more of a son of God than me. Share, get me? He's not to. Rubbish, Junior. He's a son and my son. Both of us have access to the Father. Amen. The difference between us is what? It's rank. It's rank. So I must know where my rank places me. Amen. You know, in heaven, there are 24 elders. I don't know who are those particular elders, but I know that when Baba Adeboye gets there, we know that ranking is different from ranking. There are men that God will say, these ones are not your classmates. Go and stand there and be looking at the way they are doing things. Those are elders. It's called rank. We are all sons, but rank is different. So maintain your rank. Maintain your lane. When they now call you, you remember Jesus Christ said, don't promote yourself when you come into a big man's house for a party. So let them come and carry you and say, yeah, come and sit in front. That they are telling you that they are promoting you to an higher rank. Then you will have honor of all those who are seated by. Abi, is that not so? Until they exalt you, do exalt yourself. I pray God will give you wisdom in Jesus' name. Let me try and start finishing. I can't finish this. I can't finish today again. I have so many. Maybe I will finish. I don't know. Pastor, are you ready? For next week. Praise God. In talking about skill, I must talk about training. I won't spend much about how we get trained. But the truth is that we must be trained. Look at the story of the men of Abraham. I'm shocked. Genesis chapter 14, verse 14 and 15. We're told, and when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he harmed his trained men. Brother Abraham, You're supposed to be a man of faith. You're supposed to be a man that prays. You're supposed to be a man that is not violent. You're supposed to be a quiet, peaceful, God bless you, God is with you, praise God. I don't know if you understand me. This man had trained men. I don't know who trained them, but I think it was Abraham himself that trained them how to fight. So if we have an idea that Abraham was a quiet, easygoing guy, then I don't think you know Abraham. You don't know him. He trained those guys how to war. Bought equipment, bought everything. He had an armory. Though you will see him talk with Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are the one that came. Lord, have mercy. But when he steps out, look, there's a scripture. It says, I am for peace. But say, when I speak, it's for war. Can you operate in those two realities without having a contradiction within you? Can you speak peace at war and there's no problem? You should know the Bible says there's a time for everything. There's a time to, how do you put it down? There's a time to gather and a time to cast away. There's a time to kill and a time to make alive. You must know those times and seasons. The season for war had come upon him. And the Bible says Abraham had, and he harmed his trained servants born in his own house. He didn't go hire mercenaries. I don't believe in mercenary. Somebody came to me and said, Pastor, I just finished Bible school. I saw your signboard. I must come and work for you. I said, I'm sorry, I don't operate like that. If you have never grown with me, I can't make you a leader. It must be servants trained in my house. Praise God. How many? 318 of them. Verse 15. And he divided himself against them, and he and his servants, and by night smote them. Can you imagine Brother Abraham killing people? Father Abraham. Man of faith. You didn't see this part in his faith life, oh? Pastor, if I give you God, are you ready to kill? I'm a man of God. The Bible says I shall not kill. Maybe you don't know about Abraham. I'm not asking you to go and join Amotekun. Praise God. Glory to God. Now, and that was Abraham. Praise God. I think I want to start finishing. Oh, God. Then let me try and finish with this. Finally. Authority. Everybody say authority. Do you know how to wield authority? Because if you don't understand the dynamics of authority, both natural and spiritual, you may not make a good soldier. Matthew 8, verse 9. That story, remember the story of that centurion who sought the help from Jesus. All right, now it's now a rounding up. After I have rounded up by myself, thank you very much. God bless you. I just said, I will come and heal your servant. And he said, no, Lord, don't come in. He said, I'm a man under authority and having soldiers under me. And I said to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, he come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Verse 10. And when Jesus heard it, what happened? What did Jesus do? He marveled. That thing tripped Jesus. When they say somebody tripped, Jesus tripped. Hallelujah. He marveled. This man is a Gentile. Who taught him? This is a spiritual principle. Who taught him? Jesus was to come and heal the servants. And he said, don't need to come. I'm a man of, and that was the first thing he said. And people noted it. He said, he didn't say I'm a man in authority. I'm under. You can't wield authority if you are not under authority. Point. It's an authority. But he said, I'm under authority. You must be under authority, young men and sisters. You must be under authority. That's why the people ask. They say, this synagogue man, he's a man of God though. The simple question they asked him, when were you born again? He said, from my mother's womb. We know that one's a lie. Which church did you go? Who was your pastor? He was never under authority of anybody. And suddenly he became man of God. It's not done. I've read Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We don't see that pattern there. So we already know this is fake. It's a scam. Hallelujah. You must understand authority. I just can't say Jesus marveled. And he said, I've not seen such great faith. How is that faith? It's understanding. The guy had understanding that if Jesus speaks wherever he is, this problem at home will respond. Do you understand the dynamics of authority? I think we need to do a study along that line and a presentation so that we can understand that the spirit realm is about legality and authority too. We must understand those issues. And so I close. finally. Glory to God. Finally, men and brethren. I didn't answer your question. I'm sorry, it's not my fault. Amen. So the Bible says in Mark 13:34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants. He has given us authority. But we do not understand the dynamic nature of that authority and how it works and how it's supposed to be used. Bros. I don't know what to say. We will make a shipwreck of everything that we are trying to do. So much to say, but I trust God that in subsequent months, more about it will be open to us. In Jesus' name. Thank you very much. Any questions? Any contribution? Yomi, you're welcome. Brother Yomi, you're welcome. You kept your promise. Can you please appreciate Brother Yomi? I see you since before COVID. Any questions? Nobody's asking me questions. Nobody's contributing. Please, Pastor, contribute.
Thank you very much. You know, in the area of formation that Pastor was talking about, we saw the pattern in Abraham. The Bible says that he divided his trained servants. And that's what we call division. In that division, each division has a role and a work that must be accomplished. And it must not, of course, interrupt the other division, especially in the area of his own role. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when we are talking about formation, we can look at Abraham as a pattern of what church should be. That we have, each and every one of us, have what we call department today, is a division. The choir is a division. The usher is a division. The media is a division. The children department is a division. And so on and so forth. And if each division could stay with their responsibility and do it diligently, you will discover that the church would have achieved its intent and its purpose, especially concerning the assignment that the Lord Jesus Christ has given unto the church. But where we see a division lagging in its responsibility, it will affect all. Because at the end of the day, you discover that what you are bringing up is a kwashoko, something that is not fit into the house, that is not going to be set in the old building. So it is important for us to know that when we are talking about this formation, when we are talking about the division, is what we see in the reality of our department is what we call division. Praise God.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Any other question? Rodayo. Happy birthday, Narias. You don't have any question? Okay, let me answer Brother Paul's question of last week. Can you project the question? Can you project the scripture? You know the scripture? Because I guess you guys must have discussed it. As your manner is, I will know whether you actually discussed. Where is the scripture? You didn't discuss it. Bro, Paul, they say you didn't discuss it with them. You are breaking rank. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me read from verses 1 to 4. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, verse 3, verse 4 is his question. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5 says, and if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Paul began to use metaphors. And therefore we must ask ourselves, what lessons did he want to communicate with those metaphors? He told him how he ought to take the things he've heard, he had heard about him from many witnesses, and commit to other people. He now said, a soldier. If a soldier is to please his commanding officer, does not entangle himself with civilian pursuit. A civilian pursuit is what they call civilian pursuit. Praise God. When they look at us civilians, what a soldier sees is a disorderly life. A life without control, no focus, it's just living. It's not a life of a soldier is regimented. Are you with me? Very, very regimented. And he has only one purpose. He's trained to kill. It's unfortunate when you start seeing soldiers doing checkpoint. That's not their calling. A soldier is trained to kill. In a normal climb, you will once you see soldiers out of the barracks, you know there's trouble. So you will not see soldiers come out and start hawking rice. Hey boys, I have rice to sell you. Pastor, I want to sell buku. He don't see a soldier do that. He has only one thing in his mind. Fight, kill, or be killed. That's all. It's called focus. It's focus on his calling. It's focus on his purpose. And so it's not as though that you have to abandon work. I said I'm a soldier. This ministry that God has given, this ministry of preaching is what I will sit down with. That does not make you a soldier. Praise God. Amen. If part of your calling is preaching and you are, and God wants your message to go around the whole world, it must be part of your program to put it on CD and sell to people and make it go for. Is it part of your calling? That is not civilian pursuit. Civilian pursuit comes when you change your goalpost. For example, they've told me I've been called to be a preacher. I now found out that I'm popular in Akure, and they now call me pastor. We want you to be our senator. It's not part of my calling. It's a civilian post. It's a different thing if you are called and you have been called in to do politics. If you join it with your ministry, for you it's not civilian pursuit. It's part of your calling. I don't know whether I'm understanding me. But it's a different thing when you ask come and hold my voice. God told me I'm going to become president of Nigeria. Bros. Why don't you stick with this, your calling? He has pursued a civilian agenda. He has left what he has been called to do. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So I think, is it easier? So it's not about you say I'm on full-time. I and him, we have talked a lot about full-time or no full-time and all that. And I told you that the important thing is productivity. Are you productive? You can read Bible from morning to night and you are not productive like somebody who Abby?
Good.
It's productivity. What are you bringing to the table? Our friend that was in Abale, who put Bible on the ground and said, I'm standing on the word of God. And me that, I don't read Bible for money tonight. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? God will help us in Jesus' name. If you as a pastor, you have been believing God to take care of you, and no offering is not coming, please don't sell. Once you start selling, can't do. It is civilian pursuit. Amen. Because it was you that said God said you should not work. But when I start seeing you carry Pastor, if not a man to look. What is civilian pursuit? Oh, she could lose her giddy. Praise God. I hope I'm okay. I hope I've not sinned. Amen. Pastor, can you please go and round us up?
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.